Washington, and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe, and thank you for listening.
Rosemary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land. I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. See, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold, cola, tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave. Keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man. Come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man. You all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, salad.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health, a program that is designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able trusty assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing today, Brother Frank?
Doing well, Doc.
All right. I'm excited. Today we have another very outstanding topic. It is genetic and disease prevention and protection. Genetics and disease prevention and protection. You know, one of the rationalizations, Brother Frank, that is often given for not following a healthy lifestyle, one that we know will save our lives, is that certain diseases actually run in my family. You know, I'm a diabetic because my mama and my daddy were both diabetics. So I can't really help myself. You know, I'm a victim of my genetics. Well, today, Brother Frank, if folk want to cling to that logic, then they may want to turn their radio off, because science says that's a bunch of rubbish. You know, the research shows that diseases do run in families. You know, diseases do run in families. Mm-hmm. Research shows that, but most of them are linked to common behavior. Yep. They're linked to common lifestyle, not genetics. You know, the scripture says that you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. But Frank, what if you train up a child in the way he should not go? You know, what if you train him to eat what he should not eat? Train him to spend his leisure time watching television and not exercising. Is that the way that he'll go? You know? I don't know. Research shows that 90% of the likelihood of you becoming a diabetic is not due to your genetics, but it's due to your lifestyle. It's due to the fact that you're obese. And unfortunately, 59%, as we've said several times on this program, 59% of the sisters in this country are obese. And it's now up to 38% of the brothers are obese. Now, that last figure is really surprising because the one area that African-American men had been doing very well at was in the level of obesity. But now it's gone up and we're at number two, secondary to Hispanic in terms of obese men in this country. Then there's the issue of lack of exercise. Mm-hmm. Now there was a research paper I read several years ago, and I believe it was Cleveland Clinic. They did a very good study. It was about a 12-year study, if my memory serves me, that associated actual life expectancy to amount of exercise, amount of walking that one did. You know, your life expectancy was actually associated with how much walking, you know? And so it's very important because lack of exercise is one of the factors associated with diabetes. You know, as I've said many times, I tell my patients, I want you to walk an hour and a half a day, 90 minutes a day for 90 days, and then an hour a day. One of my patients who happened to been attorney said, Dr. Watson, I can't do that. And I put my hand up to her face like a mirror. I said, look in the mirror and keep looking there until you see somebody worth changing for, all right? Because we have to decide that we're going to do what's in the best interest of our health. So Frank, what about heart disease? Well, that too is associated with lifestyle. About 80% of folk with heart disease is due to lifestyle. The big one, of course, is the diet high in fat and cholesterol and other inflammatory processed foods and refined sugars. Also, the lack of exercise and stress leads to heart disease, you know? We have to recognize that these are factors that are under our control. We can do something about them. We just have to stop making excuses and hit it. You know, but when we mention stress, you know, my mind immediately goes to the big C.
Oh, yeah.
What's the big C, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
Cancer, you know. And it goes there because in my over 40 years, and I had to calculate, I wanted to make sure that I was right. But it's almost 41 years of practice and actually treating hundreds of cases of cancer. I've only seen one patient that I could not find significant stress in her life for at least 2 years prior to the onset of the cancer. And Frank, I searched. I asked all kind of questions. I tried to probe, you know, to see where the stress was, but I couldn't find it. But that is the only one out of hundreds of patients with cancer that we couldn't find stress. Now, why is that important? It's important because stress is a major depressor of our immune system. It depresses the immune system, and it's the dysfunction of our immune systems that is at the core of cancer formation. So it's not the only factor, but it is a major problem when it comes to to cancer formation. And then if you add to that the inflammation that's caused by those fatty and processed foods that we consume, you have the makings of this second leading cause of death in this country. Cancer. You know? And it's rising. You know? And unfortunately, people have been lied to, and they just don't know what to believe when it comes to treatment, because the treatments that are out there are not really geared to get rid of the disease. They're geared to get rid of the symptoms. Even the tumor will disappear for a while, and then in too many instances, it comes roaring back. So, you know, we now know, Brother Frank, that even when we see a genetic factor associated with disease formation, it's oftentimes associated with an environmental antecedent, meaning that there's something in the environment that's causing this genetic factor to be present and important. For instance, we now know that IGF-1, insulin growth factor 1, has a powerful effect on our DNA and causes changes in the DNA that lead to cancer formation. All right? We also know that if we eat a diet high in animal fat and protein, it increases the IGF-1, all right, the insulin growth factor 1. So the higher the insulin growth factor, Brother Frank, it appears the more likely you are to have cancer. And the lower it is, the more you're likely not to have cancer. And we found that fasting and a plant-based diet lowers the IGF-1. Thus, it protects you from getting cancer formation. And so that even when you see this genetic component there, all right, there's something in the environment, that diet, that stress, the different things that's causing problems to rear its ugly head. So I have a question for our listening audience that I really want us to get to deal with. How did we get to this point in the first place? How did we get to the point where we want to blame mama and daddy for you being sick, you know? Blame mom and daddy for you being obese, you know? Blame mom and daddy. Now, and what's more important is how do we get out of that this thinking, you know? What can we do, Brother Frank, to change our mindset, you know? Because you know, we're just too many people tell me you got to die of something, and my mama, my daddy died of a heart attack. You know, my daddy had an amputation. You know, my daddy died on dialysis.
Yep.
Almost saying that I have no choice.
That's right.
I'm going to get the same thing that mama and daddy got. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. So, Brother Frank, what do you think? How did we get here, man? What happened that we start thinking the way we start thinking?
Doc, you named it. Number one, we've known about lifestyle medicine for a long time. I mean, history studies have shown it, you know. In fact, the Bible talks about, and I don't know about the Quran, I'm going to investigate that, but we've known about the advantages of good food and de-stressing and exercise for a long, long time. So how did we get here? We've been miseducated, indoctrinated, and addicted.
But I believe we've allowed ourselves to be miseducated.
Sure. That's true. Why are we miseducated? Our immediate ancestors, teachers, professors, and education administrators are themselves miseducated and indoctrinated.
So the teachers are teaching what they know.
Exactly.
But they've been taught wrongly in the first place.
That's right. Hmm. So why are we indoctrinated? Cambridge Dictionary defines indoctrination as, and this is important, the process of repeating an idea or belief to someone until they accept it without criticism or question. I'll repeat that. The process of repeating an idea or belief to someone until they accept it without criticism or question. And it can happen in, you know, science, religious, political, ideological indoctrination. And the lasting effect of indoctrination should not be exaggerated. This is important, real important. Why are we addicted? Our education and indoctrination, which is a campaign of deception, as you pointed out, Doc, consistently pumps into us the pleasure, the so-called pleasures of eating this oil-filled, salt and sugar-laden processed food or that. They were purposely designed to addict us.
We have to talk about that more.
Yeah.
But we got a caller on. The number here is 202-588-0893. Give us a call, but let's right now go to our phone. Just caller, you're on the line.
Yes, this is Joe from Bowie. How are y'all doing?
All right,
man. And you see Frank's on the roll, man.
I am. He's usually very quiet. However, when you spoke about mama and daddy, when we go to the doctor, they always ask you, what did your mother and daddy suffer from? I always say, I don't know, because I think they use that as a crib to make some diagnosis about what one might be suffering from. So I don't give them much information, but I don't really know. The parents back in the day didn't share much information anyway.
Yes. That's a very good point. The system sort of brings out, and I don't want to give the impression that genetics don't have anything to do with it, because even at 90% there's 10% genetics, and 80% there's 20% genetics. So genetics has something to do with it, but the overwhelming issue, as I read it, is not genetics, it's lifestyle. You know, Joe, it's like, why do we insist on believing that it's genetics when we know that the stuff that we're eating is killing ourselves? We know that the stress that we're under are killing ourselves, and yet we're under stress all the time. We're on this treadmill, and we're running and we're running, but we ain't going nowhere. You know?
Going to our graves in the hospital. Yeah. Going to the graves in the hospitals.
Yes, yes, yes. And unfortunately, the experience is, you know, I recommend people go to the hospital only when they have to.
Yep, for real.
You know, because even the diet, you would expect the hospital to feed you a healthy diet. But they don't.
They don't.
You know, they don't. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. We're talking about genetics. We're talking about also miseducation. Mm-hmm. Because we've been miseducated to believe that genetics is all powerful. You know, it's in the genes. You know, it's in the genes. But I'm suggesting, and the research is suggesting, that that's not true. Now, there's a gene called the Alzheimer's gene, Brother Frank. Mm-hmm. It's the APOE. And it's been determined by a number of studies that it can determine how high or low your risk of dementia is. And one person says that the APOE is the single most important gene when it comes to longevity. All right? It's the single most important gene when it comes to longevity. And yet it's called the Alzheimer's gene. All right? Now that's interesting, Brother Frank. There's an association between Alzheimer's and longevity. All right? Mm-hmm. See, now, there are different, what we call variants, different forms of the Alzheimer's, the Alzheimer's gene, APOE. There's the APOE, there's the APO2, there's the APO3, there's the APO4. Mm-hmm. And if the APO4 variant really increases the risk of cognitive decline, full-blown Alzheimer's disease, and premature death, this APO4 variant, you know, if you have one copy of that APO4 variant from your mother or father, your odds, your chances of becoming a centenarian, reaching 100, is cut in half, all right? Mm. It's cut in half, just as one of them has that gene. And if the APO4 gene is shared by both parents, your odds of becoming a centenarian is dropped by 80%. Mm. Now we know that don't too many people get to 100 anyway, all right? And so if you got that APO4 gene, then it's cut even more. Now, why is this gene so important? Well, when we talk about APO, we're talking about apolipoprotein E, all right? Apolipoprotein E. And it's the primary carrier, a cholesterol carrier in the brain. So it plays a major role in packaging and transporting the LDL cholesterol, the one we call the bad cholesterol, which is not really the bad cholesterol, but we keep saying that. We're going to indoctrinate people to believe that it's bad. But at any rate, when in reality, it's the issue is proportions, not the, but be that as it may, it carries this LDL cholesterol throughout the body and in the brain. And this APO4 gene, when it's present, all right, the person average more than 40 points higher of having the LDL. The LDL level is 40 points higher just by having that APOL4 gene.
Wow.
Than someone who, say, has another variant, the APOL2 gene. And this helps to gum up the arteries that feed both the heart and the brain, it risks not just heart disease, but it risks heart disease and Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So this gene is very, very, very important. And we need to be aware that, it's so. But what if a person with their diet, all right,
mm-hmm.
person with the APOL4 gene, if they switch their diet to a diet that's low in animal fat and in cholesterol, then what happens? The differences that we see in the LDL cholesterol literally disappear.
Huh.
There's nearly a 60-point drop in the LDL. If you just switch your diet from animal fat and protein mm-hmm. to that plant-based diet.
So in effect, we turn it off, turn off the gene.
We turn it off. We turn it off. Remember I said that most of these genetic things, they have a environmental
switch.
Mm-hmm. All right. Environmental antecedent. That's what I was trying to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
An environmental antecedent. Something that sort of can really impact. You know, we hear about epigenetics. Epigenetics. That's where different food stuffs and so forth can actually influence the expression of the gene. And here with this APOE4, you know, when you put that person on that low fat diet,
mm-hmm.
the difference the APOE4 gene just disappears when you eat that low diet. Now, this can explain something called the Nigerian paradox. The Nigerian paradox. And as we're talking, we want you to call us because we still want to get your input as to why we're where we are. You know, please. Why are we still? In spite of all of this information, all right, that we're talking about, Brother Frank,
mm-hmm.
all of this information, we're still having the theory that we're what our gene tells us instead of we are what we eat. I heard somebody say we are what we eat, but most people think we're what the genes say we are. But this Nigerian paradox, you know, what we find is that the Nigerians actually have the highest rate of the APOL4 gene in the world. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So you would expect them to have the highest rate of Alzheimer's in the world. But the reality is, they have one of the lowest rates of Alzheimer's in the world. And it is believed that it's because that their diets are centered around plant-based instead of the high-fat, high-cholesterol diets that we eat here in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a call. The number is 202-588-0893. I need your input. Why is it that in spite of all the information that we have. We still want to cling to that crust. You know, I'm where I am because of my mama and my daddy and even my granddaddy, you know, is there. So give us a call. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We got a call in there, Brother Frank.
No, I got a comment.
All right.
So according to this definition for indoctrination, it's the process of repeating an idea or belief to someone until they accept it without criticism or question. So because we get the bad information and it's repeated so much, we need to find a process of repeating the good information until people accept it. So what I did when I got cancer, and I gave my testimony last week, I dropped everything and educated myself. I indoctrinated myself with the information repeatedly. I did it day and night until I got tired and did it again. And got the information in, you know, got so I could change my behavior. The Bible says that you can re-educate yourself by
renewing your mind.
So you have to turn off the source of bad information, television, magazines, and et cetera, et cetera. People, family. You got to turn it off.
Frank, as you were talking, one of the things that came to me about this indoctrination is not just that it's been repeated, it's by whom it's being repeated.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
It's been repeated by people that we hold in high esteem.
Yep.
And we would just know that the government wouldn't lie to us.
That's so true. Our parents wouldn't lie to us.
The doctors
wouldn't lie to us. The doctors wouldn't lie.
They ain't gonna lie. You know? They ain't gonna good save doctors. Lives. You know? So what has to happen? We have to get to the point where we open our eyes and really look and see what's going on.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you know, when I was in surgery, man, I, Brother Frank, I used to love the cut, man. But I did it because I thought I was really helping people. And I'm sure I did help some folks, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people need surgery, you know. I have a patient. Matter of fact, she's in a diabetic thing. She had surgery. She needed to have the surgery because she was obstructed, and it needed to be cut out, you know. But a majority of the times when I was operating, as I learned later, when I was exposed to other information, and I opened my mind, because there were times, Brother Frank, I was exposed, but my mind was closed.
Oh, come on now.
And he who is convinced against their will is of the same opinion still.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I was determined that I was going to help people my way. It's my way.
It's your way.
Or the highway. You know? And so we got people out here giving information that we trust.
Yeah.
You know? And that's one of the reasons why when people call me and ask me something, if I'm not sure, I'll tell them I'm not sure. I need to do some research.
That's right. That's
you know? Right. Because there are people who trust me, you know, and trust my opinion. And I don't want to betray their trust. All right? I've seen too many, unfortunately, of my colleagues, and not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have some tremendous colleagues that really are out there to do a service to the community. But I see other people who have sort of drunk the Kool-Aid, man.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I made you my doctor. You know, because you told me, in addition to praying and tell me about purpose, but you said you don't know about a couple of things. And I never heard a doctor say, I don't know.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I didn't know. I didn't know. That's the first time I'm hearing that. That's interesting. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Get in the conversation. This is good, you know, because we can learn from one another. You know, what the brother said earlier was so important about, you know, when you go to the doctor, one of the first things the doctor does is ask you about your family history. And I ask patients about their family history now, you know, because I want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just because there's going to be genetic issues. That family history also lets us know what they've been doing around that dining room table.
Yep, that's right.
you see a family with all of them. Are 100 pounds overweight, you know, or you see a family when they're all slim. And my family, my immediate family, all of us are slim. My mama was slim. I'm slim. My oldest brother was slim. And my youngest, he was the biggest, but even he was slim, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we have to recognize how we are being influenced, all right, and we have to start questioning. I remember when I moved to D.C. Now I went to church school, Frank, from the first grade all the way through college.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and right after college, after graduation, I got drafted in the Army, and after the Army, I moved to D.C. instead of going back to Cleveland. For all that snow, I came to D.C. But one of the things that I did, I said, I have to decide if I'm going to stay in the church or not. I can't do it because my mama was in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I have to study for myself make my decision.
There it is.
Because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna do it. I'm gonna have me some fun, you know. But then once I studied for myself, I was convinced that this is the thing I need to do.
Yeah,
and I'm so happy I did it because I look at my children, I look at my grandchildren, and I see the impact that it's had on them.
Yeah,
you know, in terms of their values and their successes and so forth. So you know, but I had to decide for myself. I'm suggesting that we need to have an open mind,
mm-hmm,
and start questioning some things and start finding some good sources of information and studying day and night.
That's right.
All right? So that we can answer this question that I'm asking. Why are we here? And more importantly, what does it take to get you out?
Mm-hmm.
Because literally, your life and the life of your children depends on it. I've said several times, you can go to my kids' kitchen. I have three children. You go to all of their kitchens, and you're going to see the same kind of hardware in their kitchen that's in our kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Vitamix, the juicer, etc., you know. My youngest grandbaby, well, she can out eat me in salad, man. That girl throw away some salad and fruit. You know, now her Mimi, her grandma, probably eats more fruit than she does. Cause when my wife went to law school, I told her obesity is grounds for divorce. and she used to love to eat when she would study. And so I said, look, I'll make a pact with you. I'll buy you all the oranges you want. So you can eat those oranges. And my wife, I'd buy boxes of oranges at a time. she could be orange. She ate so many oranges, right? You know, but, you know, the point is that our children watch us.
That's right.
All right. And even our grandchildren watch us.
Good or bad.
And we want to make sure that we are doing the things that's going to positively impact them. Yep. So how do we get to that point? I'm not hearing any answers. 202-588-0893. And I know you know. All right? We have a very intelligent listening audience. I know they have the answers. How do we flip the switch? You know, I had a patient that was very, very sick, you know, but lifestyle was crazy. And so I wrote this light switch theory for him. Because I remember my uncle was a smoker all of his life. Mm-hmm. I kept encouraging him, and all of a sudden, blip, he flipped the switch and was able to cut off the cigarettes, you know. And so I wrote this light switch theory. We have to find out how we can flip that switch, all right, and change our lifestyles, because studies show, we always talk about studies, Brother Frank, studies show that even if you change in your 80s, all right, and I'll be 80 pretty soon, mm-hmm. even if you change in your 80s, all right, you can extend your life expectancy. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go back. All right, caller. Help us out.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a 60-year-old man, and most of my life I was alcoholic. And now I'm trying to change my eating habits and get on the right track.
No. You're not trying to change. You have changed, haven't you?
Well, I'm working on it.
All right, but have you made some changes?
Yes, I have.
All right, then say that. Now, why am I saying this? Words are powerful.
Say that again.
Words are powerful. You're not trying to change. You are changed.
It
may not be as fast as you want, but you're changing, my brother.
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead. No, I'm not sorry. I
just don't know how to pursue it because, you know, I've been eating all my life, and I'm eating differently now. But you go around people, and they got this around you, and, you know, you're smelling this food, and you get enticed by it.
So how many more years do you want to live?
I want to live as long as God keeps me on this earth.
So 20, 30 years, maybe, if you're in good health?
If I'm in good health,
What do you want to accomplish in those 20 or 30 years?
I want my health better.
All right, so now once your health is better, then what?
Well, I want to live better and show other people how to live better.
All right, so I hope you hear where I'm going. See, if you can find a reason to live, you can find a reason to change. All right?
Yes, so sir.
You think about where you want to go, and that becomes your motivation for changing. Because you recognize that what you've been doing won't get you there. Makes
exactly.
sense?
And I'm trying to I'm working to get off medications.
All right.
I have blood pressure, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and I'm working toward getting that squared away.
I like that caller. You got an ink pen or a pencil?
Yes, sir.
All right, take this number down.
Okay.
It's 202.
Uh-huh.
388-0992.
Okay.
Call that number tomorrow. That's my office. And tell them to send you out the four P's.
The four what?
The four P's. P as in Paul.
Four P's.
The number four P's. And
okay.
The four P's are passion, purpose,
okay.
plan, production. That's going to help you as you look to find a reason to live. Thank you
okay.
so much, my brother. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0892.
Keep up the good work, Paul, caller. Keep up the good work.
That's right. That's right, man. We're proud of you, man. All right. You're on the air. Yes, caller. You're on
yes.
the air.
Yes, Dr. Watkins, keep up.
My brother.
Can I tell you something? And please check it out, okay?
Uh-huh.
I had it on the NPR today, and the drug called metformin, and it's for the diabetes, is now being prescribed, guess for what?
What?
Extending one's life. This is a drug, anti-aging drug. I'm not kidding. Check it out, okay? Now, this is what they are telling the patients, and they are prescribing it, okay? As off-label. Then you check on the side effects of metformin. Number one, it comes with a black box warning. Number one side effect is death. I'm not making this up. There are many, many other side effects they talk about, but number one was death.
Yeah.
I'm not making up anything, so anybody can go ahead. You check it, Google.
You can read the label yourself, huh?
Exactly. NPR.org, and then put in metformin and anti-aging, then look for the side effects of this drug. So, I mean, I don't know what to say, but keep up Google.
So what has to happen? Is we have to inform ourselves. We have to recognize that that's correct. We got to read those labels, you know, and then we have to say, okay, what are my options, you know, because metformin will bring the sugar down. All right,
mm-hmm.
bring the sugar down, but that's treating symptoms. That's not treating disease. All right,
It doesn't extend life.
That is the most ridiculous thing. And another, I think, drug which was supposed to be for diabetes, they talked about reducing weight, but the side effect, guess what? Depression. People are committing suicide, trying to sue the company. I mean, we have to literally wake up. It's almost unbelievable that we
Sam, we're going to have to get you on here and let you expound. But I'm going to let you go because we just got a minute.
Keep
and I got one more caller. And I'm gonna take that call, but I want to get you on. Frank will set that up, and we're gonna let you expound. Let's go quickly back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Yes. Let me turn my radio down first.
Yes, sir.
I have
Sam,
an issue, man.
Sam was on the road, so go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Look, I'm just in my own little zone here. Bear with me. All right. I'm the way I am. I'm going to say because of my parents, all right? But not just because of my parents, but also because of other friends and family members, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what would get me when I was younger, I'm in my 50s now, early 50s, what got me when I was younger was going to these funerals and just wondering, well, what can we do to prevent this? I don't like this feeling. This is not right. Some about it, I swear. This is on my conscience. I've always been like this as a child anyway, just nature boy, just that, just something about me. I don't know what it is, but I don't ask questions because I love it. With that being said, I started thinking, well, maybe if I do something different than what everybody else is doing, I wonder what would happen. I didn't know at the time, you know, it was the alternative to eating all the food that I was eating. I was called, I was living high on the hog. I was eating all kind of swine. I made myself love chitlins, and when I always hate them, pickles. I ate all the meat because I thought meat was important. I mean, I was a chunky guy, you know, growing up and all, right? So I said, let me stop this stuff and just see what happened. When I found the alternatives, I was like, wow, this food tastes good. And it's got to do me justice. Anyway, I know the benefits will outweigh what these other foods are doing. So I made a transition. I stayed a full transition, about 22 years old, and never looked back. Never looked back. Had a buddy. We was, you know, working together, all kinds of stuff, just trying it out, see if it worked, like fast and all kinds of stuff. And I actually was feeling, great differences at a young age, right? Let's move forward now. Here I am in my 50s, like I said. My parents, I'm very, 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 very fortunate and unfortunate too at the same time. But I'm going to say I'm very fortunate to still have my parents, okay? I'm from up there, D.C. area. End up leaving my job. Well, actually, I had a situation. My job was I was going to go back to working my job at Metro, and chose not to. Early retirement because I came down and spread the good news about me going back to work on it about 3 years ago, and I saw the condition of my parents. First of all, my dad has dementia. My mother already knew it was the perfect candidate for that. And the struggle by herself was just not happening, all right? That's what made me just say, all right, I have to just not go back to work. I can't even tell them that I even got the opportunity to go back. I'm just going to just throw in the towel and stay down here. Since I've been here, I've watched my mom decline. I can't even say slowly, but rapidly, especially from the woman I knew. It's somebody else now that I don't know. And it's tough. And I thought maybe with all these years of me eating the way that I eat and doing the things that I do, I show in so many ways. Tell her, oh, my God, I can't even get to it enough. I just can't get her to change at all whatsoever.
So one of the things that I would recommend, just like I said to one of the last callers, if you can help her to find a reason to live, I found that people just, they won't tell you, but they don't have a reason to live. You know, they know that what they're doing is not good for them, but they keep doing it because they don't have, you know, there's nothing else to look for. We're out of time, but that's what I would say. And if you, Frank, I'll give you the number. If you want to call, if I can do your parents and help them in any way, I'd be more than happy to do so, because I've seen people that you would think would never change.
Yep, I'm one of them.
All right. We appreciate it. And one of the things that came to my mind as you were talking early, even though you were eating crazy as a young man, you were thinking right. All right. And then once you got the right information, you made the right decision. We appreciate you. We thank all of you today. I know more of you wanted to call in, but for some reason, you're going to call in next week. But we're excited. Genetics are important, but environment, lifestyle is even more important. This is Dr. Theodore Washington. Brother Frank, close us out, man.
If you want to get an appointment with my doctor, call 202-388-0992, Tuesday through Thursdays, 10 to 5. 202-388-0992, or go to www.twiliving.com. That's www.thewatkinsinstituteliving.com, twiliving.com. Thanks to all of our WPFW staff Thank you for our listeners, to our listeners and programmers. Thank you, Oladara and Maccabee, for our music. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is Brother Kaba with African Deep Thought Edition. See you again next week.
Vegan. I and I eat from the earth. I need the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, they look at me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Today is Earth Day, an annual event held on April 22nd to demonstrate support for environmental protection. In honor of Earth Day this year, President Joe Biden is announcing $7 billion in federal grants that will serve more than 900,000 households in low and middle income communities. This effort is expected to eventually reduce emissions by the equivalent of 30 million metric tons of carbon dioxide and save households $350 million annually. President Biden is also announcing new action on the Federal Climate Corps, a workforce training and service initiative aimed at preparing young Americans for jobs in clean energy and climate resilience. The Supreme Court agreed today to decide whether the Biden administration overstepped a 1968 federal law by imposing new regulations on the makers of ghost guns, which have been turning up at crime scenes with increasing regularity. Ghost guns are unregulated firearms that anyone, including minors and prohibited purchasers, can buy and build without a background check. Ghost guns do not carry serial numbers. They are untraceable and can be bought online and assembled at home. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives approved a regulation in 2022 that required the manufacturers to have serial numbers on the ghost gun kits and keep records of those who purchased them. Advocacy groups and five companies that manufacture the kits sued, arguing that this regulation was not permitted under law. The rule does not prohibit the sale or possession of any ghost gun kit, nor does it block an individual from purchasing such a kit. Instead, it requires compliance with federal laws that impose conditions on the commercial sale of firearms. To your local news, in New York, day five of former President Donald Trump's hush money trial has come to an end. The opening statements offered the 12-person jury and the voting public a roadmap for viewing the allegations at the heart of the case and Trump's expected defenses. Prosecutor Matthew Colangelo told jurors, and I quote, "The defendant, Donald Trump, orchestrated a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 presidential election. Then he covered up that criminal conspiracy by lying in his New York business records over and over and over again," end quote. Meanwhile, the defense countered by saying that Trump was innocent and went on to attack the integrity of Trump's previous confidant, who is now the government's star witness. The jury will reconvene tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. To the D.C. area, Vice President Kamala Harris recently met with cast members from the classic sitcom A Different World to highlight the White House's work towards student debt relief. A Different World ran from 1987 to 1993 and highlighted student life at the fictional HBCU Hillman College. Vice President Harris said she was thrilled to meet with the Different World cast, which included Kadeem Hardison, who portrayed Dwayne Wayne, Jasmine Guy, who portrayed Whitley Gilbert, and Charnell Brown, who portrayed Kimberly Reese. Vice President Harris said, and I quote, "Whether you went to Hillman, Howard, or somewhere else, nobody should have to bear the burden of unmanageable student debt," end quote. This visit to the White House comes as the Different World cast has reunited over 30 years since the last episode of the show aired, and the cast has embarked on a tour of HBCUs across the country, including Howard University, as they seek to raise the profile and enrollment of these schools. In today's weather, it's currently about 57 degrees in New York and 62 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels.